I love that song. It's been a while since I've sung it, but I love the words. No fear when you have Jesus by your side. I love, you know, it reminded me of being a kid, that last verse where it talks kind of about being scared of the dark. And, you know, there's no reason to be scared of anything if you have Jesus in your heart and you're trusting in Him. We are in part 3 of our sermon series, and our sermon title today is God Leading You. And as we start today, I'm going to do a little bit of changing to our to the up front. One moment while I get this ready. And I'm going to invite Chuck Henry and Brooke Henry to come up and help me for this beginning part as we get started. This is something that... Well, let's just do this. This is something that I have done a lot with youth back in my youth pastor days. And let me just spread these things around here. Compliments of our beginner Sabbath school class. All of this, all these fun animals and things. Chuck, if you wouldn't mind coming over here and blindfolding your daughter real fast with a nice pink blindfold here. And let's... add a little bit more fun to the stage here.
Are those live alligators?
You see, this is actually quite an easy setup. I learned from my friend Steve Hamilton that he did this, and instead of these nice little animals around here, he did it with mouse traps. Now, the whole point of this is that Brooke is going to need to get through this minefield. We're going to pretend that all of these stuffed animals are explosive mines, okay? So we've got to avoid the stuffed animals and stepping on them at all costs, okay? But Brooke needs to make it over to the other side where her dad is at without touching any of these things, but she's blindfolded. You can't see anything, right, Brooke?
No, I can't see anything.
Can't see anything. All right, good. So, we're going to see if Chuck can talk Brooke through this minefield without touching anything. Ready, set, go.
Okay, there's a little bit of mine. So, take like, just follow my voice a bit, but take like a small step forward, another small step. Okay, you're close to a mine, they're really close to your feet. You've got one just to the left of your foot. Take another couple of steps forward. Yeah. Watch out.
Now, sometimes when we're going through obstacles in life, sometimes there are distractions that happen while you're going through these things. And so I think it might be okay if we make this a little more realistic. I'm in the mood to sing. How about you? I like the song, This Little Light of Mine. So sing with me once, just kind of a soft, This Little Light of Mine. We don't have to boom it, but let's sing This Little Light of Mine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Hide it under a bushel, no, I'm gonna let it shine. Hide it under a bushel, no, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. I will say that when I did this one time, I had the kids in my youth group back in California take their shoes off, and we did it with the mouse traps. And we did it with 8 different groups all talking at the same time. Nobody got their toes lopped off because everyone was very careful. But I would come up their skin, but nobody, I mean, they were the most focused group. Hey, she did it. Let's give her a round of applause. Look at all these. Brooke, you did fantastic. Okay, let me ask you guys a few questions. Let's turn this thing on here. Okay, let's start with Chuck. Chuck, what was the hardest thing about guiding Brooke across this minefield? Besides the mines.
Yeah, I'd say a couple things. One was moving your foot was one thing, but how high
and where you're moving it to
okay.
was tricky. And of course, everything was backwards. So I had to make sure my left was her left, and you know, vice versa.
Right.
So
go right.
That was the biggest thing is not only did you have to place the first foot, but you actually had to continue placing with the second foot, and I didn't figure that out till about halfway through.
How did Brooke do at listening?
Really well. She moved before I was ready for her to move, though. I'd say take a step forward, and she's like, I just wanted one foot a little bit. You know,
okay,
and
so
I got a lot of action.
So you kind of had to clarify a little bit
as
to distance and things, some of the specifics.
Right. So not to move anything but the foot I was referring to until I was ready to move the other foot.
Okay. Would there have been anything that would have made it easier for you as the person giving directions?
Yeah, an open path would have been
good. An open path right through the middle, okay.
Yeah. And the other thing would have been if practice.
Okay,
If we'd done it once before, then I would be able to instruct her better, and she would know what to listen
to. Okay, this was your first run.
Right.
So you had to work out all of those smaller details.
Yeah, we should have practiced
on the fly
before we came.
You should practice at home.
So,
okay.
Yeah.
Brooke, let me ask you a few questions. What was it like to be blindfolded on stage at church, first of all?
It was an interesting conversation on the phone.
I called her up this week and was like, Brooke, how would you like to help me with my sermon? She's like, okay. I was like, it involves being blindfolded up front. She's like, okay. She was a good sport about it. So what was the hardest part about this for you?
Not being able to see anything.
Not being able to see. So what did you have to do in order to make it across?
I had to listen.
Okay, you had to listen. Very specific instructions too, right? Were they pretty good instructions, or could you have done a little bit better?
They were good instructions.
They were good instructions. Okay, Dad did good. What could have made it easier besides a straight path through the middle with no obstacles here?
I don't know.
You don't know? What was it like when we started singing, or when I started talking?
I just had to focus where I was listening, not pay attention to.
Okay, you had to focus in on where your instructions were coming from.
Yeah.
Was that easy or hard? I mean, when we started singing, it got a little bit loud. What was that like for you?
I just had to listen really hard. I just had to pay attention.
Okay, let me ask Dad a question. What was it like for you when I started talking and there were two voices now going, and then when all of us and there's 160 or 170 voices singing together, what was that like for you when you were trying to tell Brooke where she needed to go?
Actually, I just blotted it out. I didn't even really notice what you were doing or anything. Mm-hmm. I was just focused on what I was doing and just making sure that I was speaking loud enough that she could clearly hear me.
Okay, so you upped the volume just a little
bit?
Okay.
Right, just without having to be louder than I needed to be, because I want to stay calm, because I want her to feel comfortable. And I know what I'm doing, you know, so.
Yeah. It's much easier, right, Brooke, when it was just your dad talking to you, right? When all of us started trying to distract you, I could tell that when I started talking and I kind of interrupted your dad when he was giving instructions and I started talking to everyone here in church, I could see them kind of look at me like, oh man, that's kind of dirty to be talking when she's trying to get directions. Why are you doing that? That's kind of wrong. She needs to listen. And everyone looked like, oh, that's kind of wrong. But it was meant to be a little bit of a distraction,
right,
because a lot
right.
of times in life where there are distractions. We don't, you know, we are listening for something, but there's other things coming in. So thank you so much. Sorry we messed up the stage. We'll pick these up a little bit later. Thank you so much for coming up and helping. You did a fantastic job, both of you. Let's give them a hand. See, in life, there's a God who is trying to lead you and guide you and point you in a right direction and help you avoid certain things in life that are going to be a mess and mess you up. And it's so hard sometimes for us to be listening in and hearing direction from God when there are other things in our lives that are distracting us from hearing the Word of God. And I love this illustration. I've done this with kids a bunch, and I've done it with up to 8 different teams at a time. So you have 8 people giving directions and 8 people listening. And you're hearing, go left, go right, but you're like, is that my person telling me that, or is that somebody else's? Do I go right, or do they go right? What's in front of me? And the idea in life is that we have a lot of different things pulling for our attention and pulling us in different directions. And sometimes it's very hard to discern the voice of God from all of the other voices around us in life. There's a story in the Bible I want to look at today with you, and it's in the book of Luke. Turn your Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 10. Luke, chapter 10, and we're going to be starting in verse 38. You know, you never know how much you use your thumb until you can't use it anymore. And I had my clicker in my thumb, and I was like, I can't use it in that hand. I got to use it in this hand. You use your thumb for a lot of stuff. Luke chapter 10 and verse 38. This is right after the parable of the Good Samaritan, one of the most famous parables that Jesus taught. And Jesus is traveling more than likely from Jericho up to where Mary, Martha, and Lazarus live in the town of Bethany. And the characters in this story, the main characters we're going to look at are Mary, her sister Martha, and Jesus. These are the three main characters in this small portion of the story. More than likely, Martha is the older sister. She's the one that greets Jesus when he comes in. Verse 38, it says, "Now it happened that they went, and he entered into a certain village, Bethany, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house." Imagine all of the preparation that would have happened when she found out that Jesus was coming over to her house. How awesome is it that when Jesus is traveling through, he says, "Hey, you mind if I come over and crash at your house?" Jesus felt welcome at the house of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. It was a place where he could find rest, where he could recharge his batteries a little bit. And yet he was still teaching when he was there. We see that in this story. But can you imagine, what would be going on in your house if you knew that tomorrow Jesus and his disciples were going to be showing up at your place for dinner? I imagine there'd be a flurry of house cleaning, even if your house is already clean. You'd be setting everything up just right, doing all kinds of preparation because you want it to be just right for Jesus, right? And so Jesus and his disciples are heading to Bethany. Martha welcomes him into her house. And it says she had a sister called Mary. And verse 39, this is how it describes Mary. And this is one of the most beautiful descriptions of anybody. Wouldn't it be awesome if someone described you like this? This is Mary. She is the one who sits at the feet of Jesus and listens to him. That's how she's described. It's not Mary, she's the younger sister. It's not Mary, she's the lazy one who doesn't want to fix up the food and do the dishes. And Mary, she's the one who likes to sit and listen to Jesus talk. She wanted to hear the voice of Jesus. That's what she was all about. Sit at Jesus' feet. Now, this is a term that could be used metaphorically, or it could be literally. Someone who sat in the Bible, someone who sat at Jesus' feet was someone who listened or was discipled by that person. They listened to the teachings and applied those teachings to their lives, and that was a term very commonly said, well, you sat at the feet of so-and-so. And that was referencing you were learning from that person. So it was very, very likely that she was physically there, but she was also spiritually at Jesus' feet listening and being instructed on what she should be doing with her life, which direction her life should be going. But the older sister comes into play here. Verse 40. It says, "But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached Jesus and says this to Jesus." Now, this is kind of interesting that she brings criticism to her sister via Jesus. And maybe the story just leaves out the part of Martha coming up to Mary and saying, "Mary, come on, get up and help me. I'm doing all the work here. You've slipped into this room and you're just quietly listening to Jesus when you should be helping me here." Maybe she approached Mary directly first, and Mary was like, "No, I'm staying here." The way the story goes, you'd think that might have happened. But Martha comes up to Jesus. She's in a dither. She's running all over the place, getting things prepared, which there's nothing wrong with getting things prepared for Jesus. But she comes to Jesus and says, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone?" She's accusing Jesus here. Isn't this bizarre? "Don't you care, Jesus? Don't you care that my sister has left me to serve? Therefore, tell her to help me. It's almost like she's tattletaling on her. It's like Jesus is the father figure here somehow, and she's like, make her do her chores. Come on, Jesus, she's just slacking here. I need help. Make her do it, Jesus. Isn't this a weird sort of familial argument here, and somehow Jesus gets dragged into it? See, Mary didn't even care if Martha was going to embarrass her. She was sticking there to listen to what Jesus had to say. And Jesus answers and says to her, Martha, Martha. Remember we see in Scripture when they say their name twice, it's sort of almost an endearing but slightly corrective sometimes. Martha, Martha. Kind of a, you're missing the point here, Martha. There's something you need to understand here, Martha. Martha, Martha. Here's what Jesus says is something that Martha can work on. And when Martha is trying to correct Mary, Jesus has a little suggestion for Martha. It says, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. Jesus very nicely says, she doesn't have to go anywhere. I'm not going to take this away from her. She's learning valuable things that I'm teaching her. Now, when we look at this whole story, Martha's not a bad person. Hospitality for a special guest like Jesus is not a bad thing. However, Jesus is kind of telling her what's missing in her life through this whole situation. Because apparently Martha has not been one really to listen to Jesus much at all. It's been Mary that's been the one that is just feasting on the Word of God, wanting that direction, wanting that inspiration in her life, wanting to hear the Word of God so that she can grow spiritually. So what was getting in the way of Martha hearing Jesus? Because Martha needed to hear the same things that Mary was hearing. What was getting in the way of Martha hearing God? Jesus describes it very clearly. He says, Martha, you're dealing with a lot of worry. If you look at it in Greek, another word that is used in the translation is, Martha, you've got a lot of anxiety. There's a lot of things in your heart that are troubling you, that you're hanging on to, that you're worried about. And that worry is getting in the way of you hearing what I have to say to you. She was letting the troubles of life get in the way of hearing Jesus. Now, there are a lot of things in our lives to worry about, right? If we wrote down on a list and I asked you to fill out 50 things that you might be worried about, I bet you could maybe fill 2 pages up. Well, I'm worried about this, I'm worried about this. We worry about a lot of stuff. You might have worried what you're going to wear this morning. Little stuff. You might be wondering how you're going to pay the payments this month. Big stuff. You might be worried about your kids. You might be worried about your parents. You might be worried about work. You might be worried about a relationship. There's a zillion things we can worry about in life, aren't there? So what does the Bible say about worry? Because it seems to be something that Martha was struggling with that Jesus suggested she deal with so that she could hear God speaking to her. What does the Bible say? Let me see. Oh, we got... Is this thing on and working? Maybe we can just go manually through the slides. Let's go to the next. There we go. Okay, let's go on the next one. I love this picture, by the way. by Nathan Green. Let's go to the next slide. Okay, let's see what the Bible says about worrying. I am leaving you with a gift. I love this verse. I love this verse because Jesus is giving us something that is priceless. I am leaving you with a gift. Peace of mind and peace of heart. And the peace I give isn't fragile like the peace the world gives. So don't be troubled or afraid. Jesus says, look, before I go, I'm going to leave you guys with a priceless gift. And this gift is going to make your life a whole lot better. The gift I'm giving you is peace. How does God give us peace? He takes the burden that we're struggling with. And he carries it and takes the load. Anybody ever carried something really, really heavy? Aaron and I did a Tough Mudder race this last summer up in Snowmass. And part of, there's all kinds of obstacles that you have to do in the Tough Mudder race. And it's really fun. It's like 10 or 11 miles through some whatever ski resort they pick. And there's a lot of ups and downs and cold water obstacles and things. And part of the obstacle thing is you have to partner up with somebody. And you have to jump on their back or they jump on your back, and you carry them piggyback for like 50 yards, and then you switch and keep on going. So we started off, and Aaron hopped on my back, and that was easy. We did the 50 yards, no problem. But then you're supposed to switch. I'm a lot bigger than Aaron is. Aaron's about, what, 5'5", maybe, 5'6"? I'm 6 feet tall, 190 pounds, lots bigger than she is. And so I kind of looked at her, and I was like, We can just run, or I can carry the rest of the way. She's like, no, hop on. We're going to do this. And I was like, okay. So I crawl on her back and kind of just, you can't really see much of Aaron. And she starts hauling me. And she went the full 50 yards with me on her back and carried me the whole way. And it was, I mean, after we were done, I was like, yeah, high five, let's go. She did a fantastic job. But when you're carrying something heavy, it slows you way down. We'd been at a fairly good clip throughout the first couple miles or so, but we slowed way down when we were carrying a load. And that's the way it is in life, too. When we're carrying a big burden on our shoulders, it slows us down. And Jesus says, look, whatever it is that you're worried about, I'm going to give you a big gift. I'm going to pick that up and carry it for you. I'm going to carry it for you. And your life is going to be so much easier because of it. Now, Aaron struggled under my rather large frame carrying me that far. How much easier would it have been for that 50-yard carry if some burly guy had come out from the side and said, hey, man, I'll carry him for you. You just walk next to us, and I'll carry Jamie for you. You just walk there. You don't have to do anything. I'll carry him for you. Man, she would have been like, perfect. I don't have to carry him? And someone else came and just picked me up. No problem at all, and we walked down to that 50 yards. It would have been so much easier, right? And that's exactly what Jesus wants to do with the stuff that you're carrying around. He wants to carry that stuff for you. Romans 14, verse 19, it says, let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace. Isaiah 26, 3 to 4, he will keep in perfect peace all those who trust in him. Mary had this peace, whose thoughts turn often to the Lord. Trust in the Lord God always, for the Lord Jehovah is your everlasting strength. This is what Mary was hanging on to. All that mattered was hearing Jesus and listening to Jesus, because by listening to Jesus, she could find direction, she could find help, she could find inspiration, and she could find peace. And this is something that was missing with Martha. Martha was doing good things. But there were other things in her life that were bothering her and keeping her from having this peace. She was worrying all the time. What does the Bible say about worrying? We've looked at the peace ones. Let's look at worry. Philippians 4, verse 6 through 7. It says, be anxious for what? Be anxious for a few things. If it's really important, be anxious about it. That's not what it says. The Bible says, be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the what? The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I love this visual picture that peace, the peace that God gives you, keeps worry away. It guards your heart. It's like there's a legion of soldiers around your heart keeping worry at bay when you have the peace of Jesus in your heart. I love this verse. Jeremiah 17, 7 through 8. It says, "But blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. He will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when the heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no what? Worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit." What does this mean? It's talking about us as a tree, right? And if we water our roots or connect with Jesus, even when a drought comes, when bad things happen in our lives, we are still connected to the source of water. And that source of water nourishes us in a way that is more important than what's going on around us, like a drought for this tree. And it says that the tree doesn't worry in a year of drought because it's connected to the source. Both Martha and Mary were doing good. But Martha had things in her life that she prioritized over her communication with Jesus. She worried about so much that she forgot to listen to Jesus when he was in her own home. You know, in the book on Jesus' life, Desire of Ages, on page 525, it says, "There is a wide field for Marthas, with their zeal in active religious work. But let them first sit with Mary at the feet of Jesus." We have two good women in this story. There's not a good one and a bad one. There's two good people. But what Jesus thought was that Martha needed to sit down with Mary and listen to him first. She needed to be soaking up the Word of God in her own life so she could deal with some of the struggles and then take care of the hospitality. Once her spiritual cup was filled, then she could go and serve. But her spiritual cup was running on empty, and she needed that to be filled first. That was priority number one. In another book that studies this story, it's called Daughters of God. It says, like Mary, we need to sit at the feet of Jesus and learn from him, having chosen that better part which will never be taken from us. Like Martha, there's something we can learn from Martha here too. Like Martha, we need to be ever abounding in the work of the Lord. See, God was calling Martha to listen to his voice so that she could have peace in her life where there was no peace. In the midst of her own home, when she's not expecting a lesson, her ears are kind of stopped up and closed. She's worried about getting the table set. She's worried about what her lazy sister is doing. And she's upset at her sister Mary. She's frustrated with her family. She's really not expecting to learn a lesson. She's asking Jesus for help with this. Jesus, tell her to get up and help me. And Jesus is like, whoa, 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 Martha. Here's what I want you to do. Here's where you're going to be so much happier. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. Jeremiah, there it is. But blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. He will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when the heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. Jesus wanted Martha to be this tree, to have that connection with him. Mary was there. Yeah, she could have maybe helped a little bit more, but her priority right there was listening to Jesus. The timing of it, for her, the timing was right now. I have to listen to Jesus now. The dishes can wait. My sister can wait. I need to hear Jesus now. I need to hear the voice of God leading me right now. That was the mentality of Mary. God was calling Martha to trust in him and to have that peace. What has God called people to do in the Bible besides this? God's called people to repent of things they've done wrong. God has called people to make things right, like Zacchaeus. God has called people to follow him and be disciples. God has called people to trust him, like Thomas. God has called people to ministry, lay ministry, pastoral ministry, ministry wherever it is you work, ministry in your neighborhood, ministry with your friends, ministry with your family. God has called people to do that. God called people over and over to go and sin no more. God called people to honesty. God called people to obedience in the Bible. This is an interesting one to look at because obedience means you have to follow what God does, what's right. Which means, in this day of no right and wrong, that there is a right and a wrong. There is a right and a wrong, and God has called people to obedience and following him and what is right. What is God calling you and me to today? What part of our lives does God want a little bit more? In looking at this story, are we listening for God in our lives? What is God trying to tell you in your life? I believe God tries to impart knowledge on each one of us, every single one of us. No matter what age you are, where you are in life, I believe that God is trying to communicate and guide us in our lives. Are we Mary or are we Martha? Are we letting something get in the way of us hearing God in our lives? There's so many distractions. This minefield back here is life. Us trying to hear our Heavenly Father talk to us, there's so many other voices we can be listening to in life that distract us from hearing God speaking to us and giving us directions through this huge, crazy maze that is life, where there's all kinds of things here the devil throws at us to trip us up and mess us up. What is getting in the way of you hearing that still small voice say, this is the way I want you to go in? Is there something in your life or things that get in the way of you hearing what Jesus wants to hear? Is there something God wants you to cut out of your life? Is there something that God wants you to add to your life? We don't know unless we're listening to hear the word of God. God still speaks to his people today. This isn't something that he only did a long time ago. People like Samuel were just like you. People like Elijah were just like you. People like David were just like you. There's nothing extra special about them that you don't have as it relates to your relationship with God. God still communicates with his people. And I believe with all my heart that although we don't have, like they had in the Old Testament, a Urim and a Thummim, those lights on the ephod that lit up for yes or no. If you ask God a question, I think these are the coolest things, by the way, in the Bible. If you ask God a question, his yes, this one lit up. His no, this rock lit up. How cool is that, right? But God still communicates with us today through the word that he has preserved through thousands of years for you and me. He still guides us through his word today and encourages us to trust him and leave those worries behind. In this book is a treasure map where we can find the most beautiful treasure, the peace of Jesus, to have in our lives. And it only comes if we continually search through these scriptures. I love history. And last week there was a story in the news that caught my attention because it was a very bizarre headline in the news. And it said, it was titled, Space Treasure Map Finds hidden treasure in the Caribbean. And I was like, space treasure map? What's a space treasure map? As a kid, I always was fascinated by these treasure maps, and I would make up treasure maps and bury, like, Mardi Gras stuff in my yard and a treasure chest. At my grandma's house in Phoenix, Arizona, my brother and I buried a treasure chest full of, like, Mardi Gras jewelry and stuff, right? And then they sold the house and moved. And I was like, man, I bet somebody, because I went back years later, and they'd flattened, it was like, there was like a mound of dirt in the front yard that we buried in that mound. And when we came back years later, it was flattened out, and they, you know, manicured it and put stuff in. I was like, man, I bet somebody, when they were bulldozing that, was like, what? A treasure chest? And then they opened it up and were disappointed. But, you know, everybody's kind of fascinated with treasure and finding something of value. And so when I read this story, it was kind of fascinating because I keep up with some of these stories. You know, you've heard the story about the guys in Florida. There's a lot of shipwrecks in the 1500s and 1600s in Florida that were carrying gold from South America back to Europe. And I read this story one time of a guy. He was walking the beach in Florida, and he found these in this kind of tucked up on the cliff there, a small little bluff. He found these little balls of sand, like little mud balls. And he thought, oh, that was kind of cool. And every day he'd pick up a handful of them. And as he'd walking, he'd chuck them in the ocean and chuck them in the ocean. And then he picked up one of them one day and it dropped and opened up and there was a gold coin in it, a Spanish gold coin from like 1400 sometimes. And he stopped and realized that for the last like month and a half, he'd been chucking old Spanish gold coins in the ocean. And he went back and there were 7 or 8 of them left. And he's like, oh, they were gone, totally gone. But I love these kind of stories, and so this story was kind of fascinating. What happened was, there was a guy named Gordon Cooper, and Gordon Cooper was a NASA astronaut, and a long time ago, it must have been somewhere near the Cold War or just afterwards, he'd been up on kind of a secret mission, and he'd gone up into space, and I think they were looking and trying to spot Russian nuclear sites or something like that, is kind of what the story goes. But the article's kind of hush on why he was up there. But nevertheless, he was up there kind of orbiting. And as he came down a little lower, he was going over the Caribbean. And from his vantage point, he noticed that in the crystal clear waters of the Caribbean, there were some very dark spots in the clear water. And he thought, I bet you anything, these are old shipwrecks from the early explorers that came from Europe over here to the Americas. And so as he was going, he plotted kind of where they were, looked at the different places, and made essentially a map of all of these places that he could see as he was up in space. This is why they called it the space treasure map. And it was supposed to be able to find a series of Caribbean shipwreck sites. I'll read through some of the article. It says, Cooper, who died from Parkinson's disease in 2004, created the map following his Mercury 9 Faith 7 flight. At the time, he was possibly on a mission to identify Cold War nuclear threats. Armed with Cooper's detailed maps and archival research, Miklos, who is the man who now has the map and was his good friend, he left this map to his friend Miklos. He and a crew of experts identified 5 colonial period wreck sites. The team used a magnetometer to identify shipwreck areas and then dived down for a closer inspection using a metal detector. The Turks and Caicos discovery is believed to be linked to Vicente Pinzon, a Spanish sailor who, along with his brother Martin Alonso Pinzon, was part of the Columbus expeditions. These two guys, these two brothers, were the captains of the Nina and the Pinta. And Columbus was the captain of the Santa Maria. In 1499 and 1500, Vicente Pinzon discovered Brazil in the Amazon River. In the spring of 1500, the captain met with Columbus in Haiti to discuss the Brazilian discovery before leading his 4 ships back to Spain. However, in July of that year, Vicente Pinzon's fleet was caught in a hurricane while anchored near the Turks and Caicos Islands, and 2 of his ships were wrecked. In 1502, Vicente Pinzon returned to the area in an attempt to salvage cargo from the 2 vessels. Miklos' team found an anchor to one of the Pinzon brothers' boats just last week. This thing is probably from the late 1400s or the early 1500s, and the anchor looks like an anchor. It's got kind of the ocean crust on it, but you can definitely tell it's an anchor. And these guys were going down. They researched some of the sites. There were grappling hooks that they found down there near the anchor, because when they came back to salvage the stuff, what they would do is they would take a grappling hook, drop it all the way down there, come back and try and hook something, and bring it back up. They didn't have tanks back then and scuba gear to go down. They had to try and get it any way they could. They found several grappling hooks that are still there, something like around 500 years old. And he found this because his friend had left him a treasure map of where he thought all these wrecks would be. This is the first of five sites that are on this space treasure map that they've found. And this team, they're going to be doing a National Geographic special, has said that they're going to be looking at the next four sites, and they're awfully optimistic now about these next four sites because they have found probably what is one of the Pinzon brothers' anchors from one of their shipwrecks, directly tied to the time of Columbus, right around there. You see, he would have never found archaeological value like this unless he had had a map of some sort to point him in the right direction. He had somebody, sort of a father figure, to listen to take this advice from and say, this is the direction you need to go. Here is the map. I'll even give you a map of where everything is. I plotted this all ahead of time just for you so you can know exactly where it is you need to go to find the good stuff. You see, God has done the same exact thing for us. God has preserved in this book a map for you to find happiness, not only in this life, but also in the next. This is how one of the main ways that God speaks to us today. Are we listening to see what God has on the next point in our treasure map? Are we listening to hear what God is saying to us today? All of us in this room are in different points on our journey with Jesus. We all have different spiritual needs. We're all at different places. God's message that he has for you is individual just for you. Coming to church is awesome. It's a great community. We study the Bible together. But God has specific messages just for you through the week, I believe, through this book. How often are we reading God's word during the week to listen, to hear what he has to say to us? We have a treasure trove of information right here. In John chapter 16, Jesus says, the Holy Spirit is going to be here to guide you in all truth. That's what he says. The Holy Spirit is going to guide you in all truth. I believe that means when we open our Bibles and we're searching for instruction from God, that the Holy Spirit will be right by our sides. And the Holy Spirit will impress on our minds what God is trying to say to us. It's not that much different than it was back then. So many times we say, oh, they had all these prophets and they had all this, you know, the Urim and the Thummim. They didn't have this. They didn't have the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey used to say. We have the rest of the story. My challenge to you this week, spend some time in God's Word. Find a quiet place in your house. Spend some time in God's Word and say, God, I'm listening. What do you want me to do in my life? God, help any distractions that I have to be gone. If you're worried about something, ask God to help you with that worry. That's what was getting in the way of Martha trusting in God. If you're worried about something, give that to Jesus so that there is nothing that comes in the way of you listening to the voice of your Heavenly Father this week. Spend some time in His Word. I believe God is just waiting for you to open your Bible so he can speak to you through these words that he's preserved for so long. There's a song we're going to sing as our closing song, and it's number 377. If we could get the words up there, I want to just look at the first line. There's in the beginning, I love this. Okay, it says, go forth with Christ, who called you to this day. And I love this line right here. He who has led will lead and keep you in his way. God will lead you and guide you through this obstacle course of life. And if you are listening to his voice and following his directions, you're going to make it. just like he wants. He's waiting for you to listen so he can guide you through this crazy life that we have into the next life with him. Let's stand and sing. Father in heaven, Lord, help us to take the lesson that you taught to Martha to heart. Lord, help there not to be any distractions that come along our way that keep us from listening to what you have for us. Lord, you wouldn't tell us things unless you thought they were important to us. So help us to put a priority on just listening to hear what you have to say. Lord, our lives are busy. Help us to just carve out some time every day to spend with you in prayer and studying your word. And Lord, we're banking on the Holy Spirit, just like you promised in the Bible, to guide us into truth and to speak to us on your behalf. Thank you for being willing to be that voice to lead us through the minefield of life, to give us guidance and bring us home to you. Thank you so much, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.